Stephanie Laska. Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Keto Podcast. I lost 140 pounds by continuing to enjoy my favorite light beer, tortillas, and chocolate. I believe you can have your sugar-free cake and eat it too. You don't have to be perfect on the keto diet to be successful at losing weight. Your journey on Dirty Lazy Keto, it starts today. Hey, I'm Stephanie Laska, and with me today is a very special guest. She is here to share how she lost 54 pounds on Dirty Lazy Keto. So I want to say welcome to the show, Becky. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am 62 years old. I've been doing Dirty Lazy Keto for almost a year. And it's one of the few things that I've been able to stick with and had success. And I found it all through you.
Ah, well, I can't wait to hear a little bit more about your journey. And I bet a lot of our watchers on YouTube and our listeners on Apple Podcasts, they're probably curious how tall you are and maybe where you started off at in terms of your starting weight.
Yeah, I'm 5'4". And I started off at, I have to add, 255.
And where are you at these days?
And now, this morning, I was at 196.
Wow!
So, yeah, not quite about it.
Give you a round of applause. That's fantastic. Yeah. So, Becky, I'm so proud of you. Where in the world are you located? You don't have to give us your address, but I know our listeners are always curious. Like, are you overseas? Are you in the United States?
I'm in Florida.
You're in beautiful Florida. Yeah. And you've lost 54 pounds. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a little more now, it's probably closer to 56 maybe now.
It's a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now, you mentioned you found Dirty Lazy Keto about a year ago. Does that sound right?
I started looking into it before that, but I had I actually started on it in July of last year.
Okay, July of last year. And then right now we're in July of 2021, depending on when our folks are tuning in. Yes. So it took you about what, 12 months? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, it took me about a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you lose weight consistently over the 12 months, or were there bigger months or smaller months? Well, or how would you describe it?
In the beginning, I lost pretty quickly and pretty easily, but now I'm kind of down to where it takes a lot. I think I probably need to go back and redo my macros and readjust them, but I still will lose, but I'm not losing. Like with anything, you don't lose, you know, as you go forward, and the less you have to lose, the harder it is to get off.
Right. And I think that's surprising to some people. Don't you think? They think, oh, wow, I lost, you know, so much weight at first. And then they expect that'll happen forever. And they get frustrated. Did that ever happen to you? Or did you think, oh, yeah, that makes sense?
No, I've dieted the majority of my life. So I kind of knew how it went. It was just that this was something that I could eat what I liked with it and still lose.
It's kind of a miracle, right?
Yeah. 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 So.
So you mentioned you've tried other like programs in the past or weight loss things in the past.
I've done it all, including gastric bypass. So I've done it all. And if I've had some success, it's not been short-lived.
But, I understand that.
But other than my bread, now I would have never thought I'd give up bread. Never. But,
yeah, you think that's like a deal breaker until what? I mean, what changed your mind?
Well, when I first started, I just went cold turkey with the bread. I didn't have keto bread. I didn't have low carb tortillas. I didn't have anything like that. And I think once I got over that first couple of weeks of not having it, because I was eating bread a lot. Most of the time, my dinner was a bagel. So, you know, I had a lot of carb. So, once I got over that first couple of weeks, I'd say, then I got to where I noticed I didn't think about the bread as much. I was having something else to eat, and I didn't think, oh, yeah, I need bread to go with this. And then it was just kind of a natural progression to just not have it. And I even went to restaurants and didn't eat it, which is a big deal for me.
And yeah, that's a big deal.
And so I've lately I've been eating some of the keto bread and the low carb tortillas. But I think probably that's one reason why I have slowed down, is not only is because I've got the majority of my weight off, I'm letting things go back into my diet that even though they may not have any carbs or have very low carb. So I've said no more bread, no more keto bread, no more low carbs one, you know, and see if I can't get back into that losing mode.
It's kind of a trial and error, don't you think? Like you have to kind of see what works, kind of play with it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people think it's like this exact science where, oh, I just have to eat 20 carbs or less and then magically I lose all my weight. I mean, do you think that's true?
No, I think you have to consider all the other things too. I think the carb count is a big part of it. But I think you also have to look, and people don't think you have to count calories on keto. But I mean, I could eat a lot of calories and stay keto.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
There's a lot of sneaky foods out there that can pile up pretty quick, right?
Yeah. I live by myself, so everything in my house is either low carb or keto, or you know that. But I could still, if I got on an eating binge, I could eat a lot of calories in a day's time just eating keto stuff. So yeah, I have to watch that as well as my carbs. And I'm having a little trouble right now with my fats, trying to figure out where my fat needs to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that. I try to increase it some and then I decrease it. So I think it's just something you have to fine tune as you go along.
Yeah, I really like how honest you are about how there's ups and downs. It's not perfect. And then as you lose, you have to kind of readjust things and try to keep thinking about it. Like, okay, well, you know, do I really need this keto bread substitute, or do I really want these, you know, keto snacks around that maybe have a lot of calories but aren't filling you up? I mean, it sounds like you're still kind of thinking about these things, which that makes sense, right?
And probably always will.
Yeah. I mean, I think Dirty Lazy Keto works as long as you employ a little bit of common sense. And I feel like you get that part, you know, with the way you're sharing your story and the success that you've had over the year. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's a big part of it? Having that common sense and being in control and making good choices?
Well, I think it's because I've dieted so much in the past. I think it's the reason why I know to do that. And I know that's something you have to do. If I had never dieted before, if this was my first time, I probably wouldn't have that insight.
Yeah, I think it's natural to look for those loopholes, right? Yeah. Like where you're thinking, okay, well, butter doesn't have carbs, so I'll just eat butter all day, right? Like it's kind of normal to look for those sneaky loopholes, but really there aren't any. You just have to follow the program in order to lose the weight.
Yeah. But I've always been a big meat eater. So, you know, that part is what kind of made me think that I might could do this, was because everything else I'd always been on, they limited you to a very small amount of meat and a lot of vegetables. Mm-hmm. And so this way I can satisfy myself with the meat. And then if I want to have some vegetables incorporated into it, then, you know, I can do that within reason.
Yeah, I like how you figured out kind of what works best for you. Like, you know, your body, you know, what makes you satisfied, what makes you feel full and happy. And you've been able to make this work.
Yeah, so far, so good. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Oh, now you kind of hinted a little bit about trying different things in the past, including surgery. You know, why do you think Dirty Lazy Keto is working so well for you compared to all the other things you've tried?
Well, I think because it lets me still live, for the most part, the lifestyle that I want to live. I can go out to eat because everywhere's got meat and vegetables nearly. So, you know, I can go to the steakhouse and get steak, or I can go almost anywhere, you know, and get something. So I don't have to sit home and not go out to eat with friends just because I'm on a diet. And so I think that helps. And I think because I'm feeling satisfied and not really having those cravings for certain things, I think that's what's helped.
Yeah, definitely. And I love how you're still getting out there and having fun with your friends and going to your favorite restaurants, because when you feel deprived, that, I don't know about you, but that makes me angry and then I want to give up.
Yeah.
So well, knowing that I can still have fun and get out there, that makes me feel excited and empowered.
Yeah. Well, used to when I would start a diet plan, and it sounds terrible to say, but I would actually get depressed because I couldn't have what I wanted. And food has always been something in my family that we celebrated with food, no matter what the occasion. So I would get depressed about not being able to eat, but I haven't had that with this. I haven't yet felt depressed about not being able to have something.
So it sounds like your mood is positive because you're able to focus on what you can have and not feeling like you're missing out. Is that right?
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. It's so positive. Now, was there like an aha moment where that kind of went off like a poof, like, oh my gosh, I'm totally getting this. Did you have any of those moments where you thought?
I think after I lost my first 20 pounds, I think I thought, I think I can do this. And I keep up. I watch all the YouTube and I've got all of your books and I've got a couple others that, you know, I read and I go back to over and over again. Just to, especially if I'm getting to where I'm kind of getting comfortable with what I'm having, then I'll go back and I'll reread or relook at something and start, you know, I'll not really start over, but, you know, I'll adjust accordingly.
Yeah, it kind of helps to get just refocused.
Yeah.
Sometimes, especially like if there's an area that you feel like you might be wavering on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there a resource in particular that you found to be really helpful for you from Dirty Lazy Keto? I know you mentioned you have some of the books. But
yeah, in fact,
do you have a favorite or?
The very first one is the one that I first read that was telling us how you did it and how you had lost your weight and how you counted things and how you did things. And I think that's what really got me started on it.
Yeah. It's funny how a lot of folks will come to me and they'll initially say, oh, I need a food list. I need a cookbook. Mm-hmm. And then I usually come back and say, well, have you thought about reading like the guidebook, like the why and the how first before you jump right into the food?
But yeah.
So I'm glad that you found that helpful because I was pretty scared to tell my story. Let me tell you.
Well, I just recently went back to work one day a week. We're still working at home except one day a week. And nobody at work had seen me in over a year. So when I went back a couple of weeks ago, they were all shocked.
Oh, my gosh. How did that feel? How did that feel?
Of course, you know, that was a mood booster for sure, you know, because, you know, you like for people to acknowledge that you've lost weight. So yeah, that was nice. And then this past week when I went in, one of the girls asked me, she said, all right, how did you do it?
She's and like, so give me the real answer, my friend. Tell me what you did.
Yeah. And I told her what I did. She said, no bread, no pasta. I said, no bread, no pasta, no sugar. She said, oh, you're killing me. I said, it actually isn't that bad when you get used to it.
It really is. It's like you said, it's a way of life that you can do forever and not feel deprived, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So did that surprise you about Dirty Lazy Keto?
It did. It did. Like I said, sugar was never a big thing to me. I've never been a big sweet eater, but I loved my bread. And the fact that I could survive a week with no bread was a shock to me.
You were like, what's next in my life? Are you going to win the lottery? Like all of a sudden your life changed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, that was a surprise to me that I could actually give up the bread and be okay with it.
It sounds like you're doing more than okay. You've lost more than 50 pounds and all your coworkers are in awe.
Yeah.
Were there any other non-scale victories that kind of, you know, not the scales, but other things besides like the coworkers noticing that you remember during your journey?
Yeah. And I just had one not long ago. I had bought some pants that I love the maker of, but I had not been able to wear any of their pants in a long time. And I had found these pants on sale and I thought, I'm going to get them. I know I can't wear them yet, but I'm going to get them. And I tried them on the other day and I can wear them. And I was so excited.
That is a big deal, right? Yeah. That is a big deal. And how long have you been waiting for these pants? Have you been eyeing them in the closet?
Oh, yeah, I've had them for months. And I've probably had them 6 months or more.
Wow.
And so I was so excited when I was able to wear them.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I hope that you will send me a picture of you wearing those pants with the biggest smile that I think you'll probably ever have. I would love to have that picture of you as my something I could look at for inspiration. And I know a lot of other women listening can identify with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's another thing that's hard for me to get used to is when I do go shopping, it's not looking at the bigger sizes. Even if I don't go to the biggest size I ever wore, I'll go to a smaller size, but then when I try it on, it's still too big. And that is a hard thing for me to get used to, that I'm actually in that smaller size.
It's funny how your body changes, but your mind doesn't change at the same pace.
No, it doesn't.
It's almost like you're still over there looking, you know, you're not at that other size, but you're still close to it. And your body is like, no, no, you need to be way over here, my lady.
Yeah.
It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's hard to get used to that and go into a store and go to the right size instead of the big size.
Right. Yeah. And that's the truth. I mean, I think our minds and emotionally, it's a process. I've told the story before about when I was out walking or running and I saw a shadow of someone coming up behind me and it was coming up fast, like this thin, tall person was coming up fast. And I kind of panicked. I thought somebody was about to attack me. And I turned around very startled and there was no one there. It was my own shadow that chasing. I didn't recognize myself. And it just, it's unbelievable. So I really understand what you're going through and the process. Yeah. And it's emotional. It's not always sunshine and roses. Sometimes it's pretty hard.
Yeah. And what losing weight is never hard for it, never easy for anybody. I don't care how, if you're losing 10 pounds or 110 pounds, it's not easy.
It's not, is it? And I think that's surprising to some people, you know, from the outside, they'll think, oh, it's all sunshine and roses, but really it's a big process. So if you, you know, if there's someone out there listening to you right now, which I know a lot of people are tuning in and they're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts and they're listening to your story, but they're struggling. And what would you say to those people that are struggling right now and having a hard time, maybe even getting started or just that first week or two, what would you say to them?
I would say the first week or two, give yourself grace because you're not going to be perfect, especially when you're learning. But if you go with the basics, you will soon figure out that some of the things you thought you couldn't do without, you can do without, and you feel better. I mean, I feel better now than I did a year ago.
Wow.
So you have to have faith in it, and you have to have, you know, and I think a lot of it's mindset. You have to have your mindset that that's what you want to do.
So having that mindset and giving yourself a little permission to maybe make some mistakes. And to figure it out along the way and to not try to be perfect. That's what I hear your advice.
Right.
Yeah. Love that advice. Wonderful. Well, is there anything left that you want to say to everybody out there listening? Because I know you've inspired a lot of people today. Is there anything I didn't ask or any other last bit you want to share?
The only thing else that I can think of is do your research. read all of your books, go to other YouTube places and look at their YouTubes, because everybody's got a little bit of a different way of doing it. And then kind of pick and choose what you want to do and what you think will work for you. And if it doesn't work, then try something else. But like I said, that's where I got my start was, and I don't even remember how I found you, but you were the first person I found when I started looking into it. And so that's what I do. I just give myself a little bit of grace. And if I mess up today, then tonight's another time.
It's another time. You just get right back on that horse and have the faith and just keep on and do your research, like you said. And if something's not working and someone tells you to do something, try something else, because it's your life. I mean, it's your way of eating. It's your health. So you have to do what's going to make sense for you.
Right. And you have to have something that's sustainable.
Amen.
I'll have to do this the rest of my life, which is not a problem. I'm okay with that. But I have to find something that I can do the rest of my life.
Amen to that. Yeah. Because, I mean, for a lot of us, our weight issues are complex and they run deep and they're not just about food. So you're right. It's something that we have to be mindful of and keep working at.
Yeah. And I've been heavy all my life. I mean, my mother said I doubled my birth weight at 6 weeks. So, you know, I've just been heavy all my life. And some of it's hereditary and some of it's the table.
Well, you have certainly shown them, all those people who said otherwise.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm very proud of you, Becky, and all of your success. And I will be sure to include links to all the resources that you mentioned today, Becky. And I know I speak for everyone listening out there and watching when I say thank you so much for telling your story. And I can't wait to hear more from our listeners, because I bet we're going to inspire a lot of folks today, and they'll be contacting me very soon with a success story of their own. And they'll be coming on the show, right?
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Well, that is a wrap for today, folks. And thank you for tuning in. And I hope that you will get involved in the conversation, you know, give the video and the channel a thumbs up and leave a comment about what your favorite part was. And tune in next week for another episode. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, that about wraps it up, folks. Thanks so much for listening and for being part of the Dirty Lazy Keto community. I'm here to support you. I am here to help. Would you like to be notified when a new episode drops? Sign up for my free newsletter so we can keep in touch. Enter your email at dirtylazyketo.com and I'll just send you quick notifications when something new is going on. My newsletters are free, of course, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Did you enjoy today's podcast? Do me a favor, tell a friend. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the Dirty Lazy Keto podcast. I believe in you, my friend. I know you can do this. See you next week, Keto Superstars.